Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Brady.
And good afternoon. This is Lock and Load, and, we're going to finish this third hour up with Dean Ryder, and just Ryder, he just writes, and he travels, and he shoots. Talking, of course, of Dean Weingarten. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing very well, thank you, and glad to be here.
Back in Yuma.
Back in Yuma.
How long of a drive is it from Dallas to Yuma?
About 1,100 miles, depending on where you start.
Right. And what is that in hours? You do it in a day?
I have done it in a day, but I think I got smarter as I got older, and now I do it.
You break it up.
Excuse
me. You break it up. So that's let's talk. Let's go talk about the coward from Broward. He's on trial.
Yes. We're talking about retired school resource officer for the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. He's 60 years old now. He was 55. When the infamous mass murder there in Parkland happened about 5 years ago. And he is on trial for 7 counts of child neglect. Those are felonies. 3 counts of culpable negligence. Those are misdemeanors. And 1 count of perjury, which is a misdemeanor. And just to give people a little bit of a refresher on what happened, since these events are over 5 years old, in February on the 14th, 2018, a 19-year-old young man with a long history of antisocial behavior, going back to when he was very young, all the way through his basic elementary and high school years, went to the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, and murdered 17 people and injured another 17. Now, Parkland is located in Broward County, Florida, which is a leftist center, and the school resource officer there was Broward County Sheriff's Deputy Scott Peterson. Now, there were a lot of things that went wrong that allowed this mass murder to happen. Just huge numbers of them. I recommend a book that was written by the father of one of the young women who was murdered, as well as with a investigative journalist they got together and wrote this book called Why Meadow Died. Andrew Pollock and Max Eden wrote it. I read it. It is very, very well documented, and it shows that it was largely a combination of an attempt to create statistics that looked good, along with the Obama administration, that created the policies that had been in effect for years that allowed this mass murder to happen. And what happened is that the people there, the school district, worked very, very hard to keep the statistics basics down of misbehavior, discipline problem, and criminal activity on campus. And they did this just by, you know, telling people not to report things, not to complain about things, to downgrade problems from, you know, a crime to a something that was a disciplinary problem, and disciplinary problems that if a teacher calls about a disciplinary problem, and that person was of a favored group, well, then the teacher was in trouble for systemic racism. And it created this horrible system that we see, by the way, in much of California now, where no one is held accountable for anything except trying to enforce the rules. And if you try to enforce the rules, you're a bad person. So that explains a bit this school resource officer, Scott Peterson, when he did kind of what he was had been trained to do, which was not do much. And so when the mass murder started there in February of 2018, he reported that he thought he heard shots inside this building, which he was just outside of, on building 1200. And he drew his gun, and then he went and found some cover and stayed there for the next 45 minutes. Now, we would like to believe our police officers are all heroes, but they're people, and not all people are heroes all the time. And in the United States, and I think in the world generally, police officers are very seldom held to account for what they do not do.
Let me ask you one question about that, because I've always wondered about this is when it comes to this particular kind of thing. So if you have a police officer and he is a resource officer, he's tasked with protecting a school, does he still get the same kind of liability protection that the Supreme Court decided that cops are not absolutely designated as somebody that has to protect any particular individual? Do they still get that even though they're actually designated on a protective detail?
Well, that's what's being argued about in this case.
Right.
And I would argue that the whole case, except for the perjury charge, there's a perjury charge in there, except for that, the whole case amounts to Scott Peterson's lawyer saying he does not have a particular duty to protect anyone, just like all police officers anywhere. He's just there to help with policies and enforce the law and do stuff like that. He doesn't have a particular duty to protect the students or anybody else there at the school. That's what they've started to argue. That the court case hasn't actually started yet, but the court of public opinion has been ongoing. And that's what they're arguing. They're saying, well, he doesn't have any legal duty to protect the people there. Now, he has a duty as part of the job. And, in fact, he retired shortly after all the controversy happened more than 5 years ago. And after he retired, the sheriff's department fired him.
Hang on right there, because this I got to know more about. Hang on, if you will. This article is one of 2,200 plus that is available for you at amaland.com. Dean is the most prolific of all of those writers there. He has the most articles there. And, I mean, that's just what he's got there. He's got another 3,000 sitting around somewhere else in other places. So, but this is the latest one. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Mm-hmm.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load, and we are speaking with Dean Weingarten, talking about Scott Peterson and his saga after the one thing. He had one job, and he failed to do that one job, and now he is now, is this a criminal trial that he's involved in?
Yes. There are 11 criminal charges against him. There are 7 charges of child neglect. And the way that they are formulating the theory for child neglect is that he had a special duty to protect the students there at the high school Marjorie Stoneham Douglas High School, and he failed to do that. Then there are three charges for, let's see, culpable negligence. This is where a reasonable person should have acted to prevent serious injury for an adult, and there were three adults that were killed after the prosecution says he should have acted. Two of them were employed by the school, and the third was an adult student who was Meadow Pollock. And then there's one charge of perjury. Now, the three charges for culpable negligence, those are misdemeanors. The child neglect are felonies, and the perjury is a misdemeanor. And that gets to be important because if he's convicted of a felony, he would probably lose his pension. But if he's convicted of misdemeanors, his pension would probably stay intact. I mean, I can't swear because I don't know how everything will go. We got a jury, we got lawyers, we got an adversarial system in our justice system, which seems to work pretty well most of the time.
Right.
And so, you know, you can't exactly predict these things the way that what happens in a particular trial. I mean, you know, we have to wait and see. One of the interesting things about this trial is they're only using a six-person jury, which is unusual. Most of the country, in criminal trials, we use 12 people on a jury. And that makes it, that becomes important because a unanimous verdict is required from a jury. And if you only got to convince one people out of 12 that there's reasonable doubt about whether you're guilty or not, that's a lot easier to do than convincing one out of six. It's a lot more than twice as easy. It's probably about five times as easy because you got twice as many people to convince. But one out of 12 is 1/6, you know. So anyway, I mean, one out of six is so much easier to get a conviction on, in my opinion. Now, of course, the facts matter and the charges matter and the trial in the public opinion in the media matters. And when I say that we have almost never charged police officers with a crime for not doing something, well, maybe that's changing because in the last couple decades, we have charged police officers who followed procedure, as far as I can tell.
Right.
I mean, and I've read the manuals and I read the charges and I studied it. And things like, you know, when we had the riots in L.A., oh, gosh, well, I guess I need to talk about which riot in L.A., you know, yeah. So, let's see, the riots there, oh, gosh, I'm thinking when they stopped that person for drunk driving, and I'm pretty sure I had it down here in the article. And for, you know, they had riots, and then they basically had another trial, and they convicted these officers. But if you look at what they did, they followed the L.A. procedures, and they were still convicted. And then they were charged, you know, in a civil trial, and I think they lost the civil trial as well. And then we have the George Floyd situation, where I would say that the officers there, how bad the video looked or not, they were following their procedures. And then the officers there have been convicted, or at least I don't know if the other three have yet, but one of them was convicted early on. So, but those are cases where they did something, and there was huge media outcry and push to convict them. And in this case, mostly Scott Peterson is being charged with what he did not do. He didn't do things that I think most people, or a huge lot, probably a significant majority of people would say, well, he should have done something. He should have ran toward the gunfire. He should have tried to figure out what's going on so he could report what was going on. He knew the campus. He knew the building. He was the one who was most familiar with the area, but instead of trying to interview people that were coming out, where's the shooter? What's going on? What's he armed with? What's happening? He basically hid.
Right.
And for a very large number of people, that rubs them a very wrong way. And I include myself in those number of people. I think he didn't do what he should have done, but what he should have done and failing to do what he should have done is going to be hard to sell as a crime. And we just generally haven't done it. The only place I know of where people have actually been criminally prosecuted, and the end of that is extremely rare, are in the military, where if you exhibit cowardice in the face of enemy fire, you can be prosecuted. But it happens very, very rarely. And so here you have Scott Peterson, and I don't know much about his whole career. I mean, they said that he was a decorated officer, but when I look at the decorations, they're for like Student Resource Officer of the Year.
Sort of like the Good Conduct Medal.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking. And, you know, everybody gets one if you don't really screw up badly.
Right.
And so, I, you know, having been an officer, I may have a little bit of prejudice this way, but most people are not always heroes all the time. And we'd like to have our police officers to always be heroes and run to the source of the gunfire and do what's necessary to save innocent lives. And I think people very likely could have been saved if Deputy Peterson had run toward the source of the gunfire and done his best instead of retreating to a position of cover and safety.
Hang on right there for me. We'll be right back talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
USA News Update. President Biden is holding his first cabinet meeting since declaring his candidacy for re-election. Just before the meeting, he told reporters they'll be discussing a wide variety of issues.
We're focused on securing our border, combating the climate crisis, and protecting the fundamental rights of Americans.
He added the group will discuss implementing the laws his administration has passed through Congress and continuing to invest in America. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has filed paperwork for his second presidential run following his previous attempt in 2016. He is anticipated to officially launch his campaign at a town hall event in New Hampshire tonight. A federal judge is allowing the disclosure of the names of individuals who posted bond for Congressman George Santos in his criminal fraud case. The judge has granted Santos until Friday at noon to appeal the decision. Media outlets and the House Ethics Committee requested the release of that information. John Schaefer, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. We've been talking about Scott Peterson. So, you know, so his decorated career was basically he didn't mess up until his last moment on the career. Is there a policy for, a presumed policy for school resource officers? I mean, are they?
Well, that's a good question. It doesn't appear that there was any policy at the Broward County Sheriff's Office saying that a school resource officer was required to put himself in harm's way in order to protect students. In fact, the policy used a very critical word for anybody who is reading documents, legal documents. It said an officer may choose to become immediately and directly involved if there's a shooting, an active shooter. It didn't say you shall or you must. It said the officer may. And may means you get to choose. So that's one of the things that's hard to overcome in this case. And the state is, you know, the prosecutors. Prosecutors are doing what is popular here. They are prosecuting Peterson because he did unpopular things. He didn't act as a hero. In my opinion, I think that's a fair assessment. But the question is, did he act criminally? I think it's hard to prove that. Now, Peterson, and I thought this was worth mentioning, he retired shortly after the controversy all started. He was eligible for retirement. He had 32 years in. In his last year, he was paid almost, just short of $102,000. And his pension started at $104,000. So his pension was greater than his whole year's pay with overtime. I'm going, wow. Wow, that's a heck of a pension.
Indeed.
He had 32 years in. But, you know, I had about 32 years when I retired out of civil service. And
right.
Civil service pensions are notoriously generous. And my pension was, you know, roughly half of what I made in my, a little less than half of what I made in my last year of service. So, which I'm not complaining. I think it's a generous pension. I don't have any problem with it at all. But this idea that I'm just astounded. It sounds like California pensions or Illinois pensions or New York pensions. And so, I mean, that's one of the reasons I think that people are upset with Scott Peterson, with retired Deputy Scott Peterson, because he was being, in my opinion, very generously compensated, and his pension is extremely generous, but part of the reason for that generous compensation is that we expect them to do a difficult job and do it well. And it doesn't appear to me that he did the last day of his job well. Now, we talked about his awards or, you know, that he might have gotten and that he's a decorated officer. And I have not, I have to make this clear, I have not extensively found his record that I could say. But when people mentioned the awards that he had gotten, you know, the decorations they have gotten, what they mentioned were his School Resource Officer of the Year decorations. I'm kind of thinking that if he had had an award for heroism on the job, it would have been mentioned. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying it hasn't been mentioned in the stuff I have read so far. So, there we are. I mean, it sounds like he was probably a competent officer. I mean, I've heard some people say.
Do we know if he was involved in any other shooting incidents?
I have not heard of any.
Yeah.
That he was involved in. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't any, but it's a pretty good indicator because with the laser focus on him right now, if he had been involved in previous shooting incidents, we would probably know about it. I'm presuming. And I read several articles and looked at a bunch of stuff while I was researching this article. I didn't find any mention. Now, we have officers that recently, in a story that I covered extensively, I think I wrote a dozen articles or so about it, the one down in Houston where they used that fake no-knock warrant and busted in that couple's house and killed both of them and their dog. And they are being prosecuted federally and locally. But that's for bad stuff they did. Yeah, and it's a big difference when you're trying to prosecute somebody for bad stuff for good stuff they didn't do. And so that's what's going on in the Peterson case. You know, now that I have refreshed my memory, but the officers that were prosecuted, I would say probably persecuted, for following procedure was the Rodney King case and the Rodney King riots in L.A. And then the in the George Floyd case, of course, is where we have had officers prosecuted. I guess you could say that the other three officers that were there and did nothing in the George Floyd case are being prosecuted for what they did not do. You know, they didn't restrain the other officer. They didn't say, take your knee off the shoulder blade.
Right.
Stop it, that kind of thing. So they may be incidents and examples of people, police officers, who are being prosecuted for what they did not do as well. But it's in U.S. history, it's very, very unusual for officers to be prosecuted at all, and extremely rare for being prosecuted for what they failed to do. Now, they lose their jobs. That's not so uncommon. You have an officer that freezes up at a critical moment, and his colleagues notice it, and his chief notices it, and he gets fired. That's not that uncommon. But criminal prosecution, start off with much lower expectations for civil prosecutions. Those are very, very rare. And then it's much harder to get a criminal prosecution. So we're looking at extremely unusual and rare events. And there have been cases where officers were called and said, there is a crime going on. There is a serious attack. There is a rape. There's nasty, bad stuff going on. You need to go to this place and go after these people. And officers did nothing and went on for hours in one Washington, D.C. case. And the court said, nah, they don't have any duty to go to a particular place or solve a particular crime or arrest anybody, even if they have credible evidence that real bad stuff is going on right now. So that's the consensus among the courts. Now, there is local variation, and that's part of what we are looking at here, because there is a Florida law, and in the article they quote, you know, what neglect of a child means for enforcing that statute, and what they say is that a caregiver's failure or omission to provide a child with care, supervision, et cetera, or a caregiver's failure to make a reasonable effort to protect a child from abuse, neglect, or exploitation by another person. And that's what I think they're going after in this case for Scott Peterson. But first, they're going to have to convince a jury that he was a caregiver as described by law. And it doesn't specifically say school resource officers are caregivers.
Right. Hang on right there for me. Hang on right there for me. Like all of Dean's articles, they provoke so much thought. This is at amelan.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Time on the firing line. Talking to Dean Weingarten. We've been talking about Scott Peterson. Do we want to continue to talk about him, or do you want to go?
I think we covered that pretty well. It's going to be a tough case and interesting to watch.
Well, let's talk about these bear attacks.
All right.
Because you know I love me some bear attacks. What did you find out on this latest one?
Well, as you know, I've written extensively. Oh, gosh, I think close to 150 articles about bear attacks and how effective pistols are against bears in when they're used defensively. We're not talking about hunting with pistols. That's a different kind of situation. We're talking about when a bear is acting aggressively and you've got to stop them somehow. And it turns out pistols are very, very effective, something like 98% effective. But one of the things that commonly is brought up in talking about bears and bear attacks is that, well, very, very few people are killed by bears. And that's true. Although the numbers have gone up a lot, probably an almost exponential rise since about 1960 or so.
Right.
And the reason that there's more and more people killed by bears, and I think what we saw, the record's about 6 in a year. So in absolute numbers, that's pretty small numbers. You know, 6 people killed by bear in a year, not that many. But if you're one of those people, it's serious. You're dead, you know, or your relative is dead or whatever. But they say, you know, people say, well, that's such a tiny number. Why do you worry about it? Well, one of the reasons that so few people are killed by bears is because people are much more efficient killers than bears are. And when a bear goes after a person, it's likely to ruin the bear's whole day because we're just really good at killing things. You know, we are the top predator on the planet. There is no question. If you look at apex predators, we are them. That's us. We kill very, very, very well. And particularly, we kill very, very, very well because we know how to make weapons and to use weapons that are not growing on our, you know, they're not like teeth or claws. We make them and we carry them and we use them. And there's one of the, I would say, most popular bear researchers, is extremely popular, written several books, and, you know, just is cited all over the place. Stephen Herrero, I believe he's out of, I think, the University of Calgary, Alberta. I'd have to check that out. But he was being interviewed, and he speculated on why so few people are killed by black bears. And I'm going to read the quote here because I think it's really informative. It says, "Given the strength and opportunistic predation by black bears, one can ask why bears do not prey on people more often. Part of the answer may be that bears that try to or do prey on people are usually killed and removed from the population's gene pool, decreasing the frequency of any genes the individual may have had that could contribute to predatory attacks on people." I'd also say that it's not just removing the genes of that particular bear, but if you have a female bear with cubs, and the cubs survive, which does happen, then those cubs learn going after people is not a good idea. So one of the ways that this happens particularly is when aggressive bears go after people, when they become aggressive towards people who are hunting. And one of the reasons this is important, because people who are hunting carry weapons. You know, they do the natural thing. The natural thing for people is to keep and carry weapons. We have an affinity for keeping and carrying weapons because that's what kept us alive over thousands of generations. Now, if you fail to have your weapon near you, and there's some saber-toothed tiger who decides to make you lunch, you have a much better chance of becoming lunch than if you have your weapon with you. And your buddies with you, and they have weapons too. And better yet, you have some of your hunting dogs with you for the past 20,000 years or so that we've had dogs. You put dogs and humans and the weapons we make all together, and they're an almost unbeatable combination for almost all animals. People still get killed, but the vast majority of the time, we win, and that's why we're the apex predator. So, one of the reasons that there are so few reported attacks on people by bears is that when bears go after people, they get killed, especially when the people are hunting. So I have been reporting on this for several years now and collecting all of the attacks we can find that involve pistols, when the pistol's fired. That's how we get our statistics. And I was interviewing Kim Woodman. Now, in 2016, Kim was hiking up in Alaska, not far off the Kenai Peninsula, and he had... kind of just almost as an afterthought, he said, I should probably take a gun with me. And he stuck his Model 20 Glock 10 millimeter in his pocket. I mean, so that the grip was sticking out, but he put his 10 millimeter in his pocket. And he came across a sow grizzly bear with a couple half-grown cubs that decided he was a problem and he had to kill that grizzly. And it ended up being killed at extremely close range. I mean, Kim was backing up, trying to get away from that bear when he tripped over a stick or a root or something in the ground. And as he fell over backwards, he's still shooting his 10 millimeter at the grizzly bear that's coming at him. And his foot goes up to ward off the bear, you know, to kick it in the chest or whatever, to keep it off of him. And one of his 10-millimeter bullets takes off the tip of the middle toe on his left foot. And he killed the bear. Bear went dead right there. But when investigators went back for the bear, they found his sunglasses 5 feet, where they'd fallen off his head when he fell backwards, 5 feet away from the dead bear. That's close. But what's germane here is that when I was talking to him, he recounted that this was the second bear he'd had to kill in self-defense. The first one was when he was moose hunting in 1992. He had a bear permit, But he wanted to get a moose first because the moose was more important for winter meat. And he's out hunting moose. He's stalking it. And he hears something. He turns around and hears a big grizzly bear coming at him. Very close. Not at all outcharged, but faster than just a walk. And he swings his .338 Winchester Magnum around. And it was so close, he couldn't use the scope. He had to just point and shoot, and he shot the bear, aiming for the head, which normally trophy hunters don't do because it destroys the skull. And the bear went down, bam, right now. I mean, just like it was dead right there. And he thought, wow, that was a close call. It was only 15 feet from him.
Yeah.
So that bear was recorded as a hunting bear, a bear that was harvested while hunting, because he had a bear permit. So he put the bear permit on it. It was never recorded as a defense of life and property. Actually, what happened is that the bullet went right alongside the skull, just nicking it, and knocked the bear out. And then the bear came to, and he heard a growl, and here's the bear. You know, the brains are pretty frazzled from being knocked out. It's kind of whirling around. He sticks the .338 up against the neck and fires another shot, and that finished it off.
And with that, we have run out of time, Dean. That went quick, didn't it?
It did, and it tends to.
Yes,
it's always fun talking to you.
Well, thank you for joining me today, and I will talk to you later this week. One more time with Dean Weingarten is coming up later on this week. Check his stuff out at amaland.com. Thank you for joining me, sir.
You are welcome.
All right. Back again in 21 hours in between now and then. Remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been, and it's always going to be, about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins spanning across decades is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.